Welcome to today's service of worship. Today is the Sunday after the Ascension. The Bible tells us that 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. He went back to his Father in heaven. Now, 40 days after Easter Sunday always falls on a Thursday, which means that the Ascension is sometimes overlooked. But it's one of the most important events in the story of Jesus. More about this later. We're still in Eastertide, so we use the traditional greeting, Christ is risen, Alleluia.
He is risen indeed, Alleluia.
And our call to worship, words from Psalm 47. God ascends with shouts of joy. The Lord ascends with trumpet blasts. Sing praise to God. Sing praise. And we praise God in our first hymn. Singing if you want to, or just pondering the words. Alleluia, sing to Jesus. His the scepter, his the throne.
Now let us pray. Risen, ascended Lord, who prays for us, may we know ourselves today surrounded by prayer. As we step into line with all who follow you, may we know ourselves as part of that great company of saints who have kept the Christ light burning through all the ages. Forgive us, Lord, when we allow the light to dim. Forgive us when we allow the soot to build up and the lamp to become foggy. Help us to draw near to you so that our light may shine brightly again, so that we can share your light in the world, that we can be your footsteps, your hands, your voice. Light of the world, go before us in all things and compel us to follow in your wake, so that in your risen, ascended power, we can light the world with love. And may our worship remind us of who you are and confirm your spirit and your power in us as we serve you in our daily lives, always for your glory. Our prayers, our worship, our lives we offer to you, our God. Amen.
Our reading for today is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Jesus is taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen, and thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, reading from chapter 1 and from verse 15 to 23. "For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to God for you. I remember you in my prayers and ask the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you his Spirit, who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know him. I ask that your minds may be opened to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope to which he has called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which he used when he raised Christ from death and seated him at his right side in the heavenly world. Christ rules there above all heavenly rulers, authorities, powers and lords. He has a title superior to all titles of authority in this world and in the next. God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him to the church as supreme Lord over all things. The church is Christ's body, the completion of him who completes all things. Amen.
As I said earlier, the Ascension is one of the most important events in the story of Jesus. In some ways, the Ascension is the completion of a circle. Jesus was in heaven with his Father before the world was created. He came to earth, lived, died, rose from the dead, and returned to his Father in heaven. Now, this could suggest that Jesus is now distant and detached, but nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus is even more available to us now, for he no longer has the restrictions of earthly life. During his earthly life, he wasn't in two places at the same time. If he was talking to someone in Capernaum, he wasn't talking to someone else in Jerusalem at the same time. He had to physically travel between villages and towns. And if people wished to meet him, they had to travel to where he was. Now, Jesus can be everywhere, with everyone, all of the time. The always, everywhere Jesus. When we pray to him, call to him, we aren't placed in a celestial call centre queue. You're number 500,000 in the queue. The waiting time will be 2 months. No, Jesus is always there. He's with me here, and he's with you wherever you are. Jesus doesn't have the restrictions of earthly life anymore, but he still has his full humanity. He didn't leave it behind when he went back to heaven. He experienced and fully understands earthly life. We sometimes refer to Jesus' earthly life as the Incarnation. Incarnation, it comes from the Latin word for flesh and refers to the fact that in Jesus, God became human. Or, as John's Gospel put it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus existed in glory with his Father before the world began, at a point in time about 2,000 years ago, and in a specific place, Palestine, Jesus became man. The Church believes that Jesus was and is both fully human and fully God. Humanity was not something he just borrowed for his time in Palestine. It was not just some elaborate role play. It was and is part of his very being. Now, if you expect me to explain how Jesus is fully man and fully God, you'll be disappointed. There are things we have to accept as mystery. As the book of Job says, "How great is God beyond our understanding?" Jesus was born, grew up, lived, and worked. He lived a fully human life with all its ups and downs. Laughter, tears, toil, rest. He shared the restrictions of human life. He experienced hunger, thirst, and tiredness. God in Jesus fully shared mankind's life. During that earthly life, Jesus taught people about God's kingdom. He repeatedly declared, "The kingdom is at hand." He showed them what that kingdom was like by the way he lived. a kingdom where the law is love, love of God and love of neighbour, love that reaches out with compassion, with healing, and with forgiveness. He challenged all that oppose God's kingdom, the corrupt and oppressive practices of worldly authorities, where lust for power, greed, oppression, selfishness, and violence reigned. It was on the cross that these worldly powers and the dark forces behind them were defeated, defeated by love. We can sometimes lose sight of this when we see what still happens in our world. But on the cross, the power of love did show itself to be supreme, triumphing over all other powers. God's kingdom triumphed. Love does, and always will, overcome hatred and darkness. It was also on the cross that Jesus even shared that part of human life that we will all experience, death. And in the resurrection, we see the defeat of even death itself. But of course, immediately after the resurrection, the first disciples had not grasped all this. Not surprisingly, they were confused. They still had a lot to learn. We heard that Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and continued to teach them. To start with, they had to learn that Jesus really had risen from the dead. We heard, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs, proof beyond doubt that he was alive. Jesus ate with them, was touched by them. He really was physically there, not a figment of their imagination or a ghost, and it really was Jesus. He showed them the wounds in his hand and side. Then Jesus continued to teach them about the kingdom of God. The disciples had to come to terms with the idea that God's kingdom wasn't about a Messiah who was going to kick out the Roman occupying power. We still find them asking, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" They were still trying to make sense of the crucified Messiah. I imagine that those 40 days after the resurrection were absolutely packed, an intense course for the disciples, at the end of which, having promised them the gift of the Holy Spirit, Jesus ascended. He returned to his Father, who seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms and placed all things under his feet, for him to rule as king over all. Although we may not understand how, the Church believes that when Jesus returned to his Father, he returned with his full being, both human and divine. In Jesus, humanity has been taken into the heart of that holy, intimate family of the Trinity, taken into God's own house, taken into God's own life. The ascension, the completion of the circle, is also a fulfillment of the whole of the Incarnation. Through the Incarnation, God fully shared in human life on earth. Through the ascension, humanity is invited to share in God's life. Think about that. Through the ascension, humanity, that's us, you and I, we are invited to share in God's life. This is the hope to which we have been called, the wonderful blessings, the riches of his glorious inheritance, referred to in our reading from Ephesians. And this hope, these wonderful blessings, this glorious inheritance, is not just for some time in the future after death. It's also here and now. We're invited to share in the life of God in this time and this place. Sharing God's love, his peace, his joy, his sorrow, and his work. It's a tremendous privilege that God wants us to share his work. He knows that we'll get it wrong on occasions, sometimes spectacularly so, but he wants us to keep trying. He gives us the Holy Spirit. In the words of our reading, his incomparably great power for us who believe, his mighty strength. And we will need that power, that help, for we are called, like those first disciples, to continue spreading the news of God's kingdom, to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. We do this by loving, by sharing God's love, often through the seemingly small kindnesses of daily life, but sometimes by loving to the point of suffering. Probably not the physical torture of a crucifixion, but perhaps the pain of accompanying a loved one through illness or troubles. Perhaps the pain of continual rebuff when we try to help someone. Or the pain of abuse, or worse, when we challenge in love all that hates and fights against love. For some, the suffering will be in risking and possibly giving their lives helping others. In war zones, in terrorist attacks, in the aftermath of natural disasters, in attempted rescues in extreme weather, in this pandemic. It's up to each one of us, as followers of Jesus, to accept the invitation to share in God's life, to play our parts in God's work, allowing his kingdom of love to break through in our lives to our world, and so to hasten the day when all come to know and love God, that day when all of creation does indeed come to know the hope to which he's called us, the wonderful blessings, the riches of his glorious inheritance. The day when, in the words of our reading, Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And the circle, that circle of divine love, is truly completed. Amen.
By the banks and the braes, by the macker and the bogs, on the roads and the paths of Scotland, on the islands and the hills, in the forests and the fields, in the crannies and the nooks of Scotland. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland.
In the schools and the jails, in the castles and the crofts, in the shops and the schemes of Scotland, in the stadiums and kirks, in the villages and towns, in the bingos and the chip shops of Scotland.
Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. in the ups and the downs, in the yeses and the noes, in the twists and the turns of Scotland, in the old and the new, in the haves and the nots, in the dreich and the dry of Scotland. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Wherever we come from, wherever we're going, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're feeling, Jesus walks beside us in Scotland.
Now let us bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Lord our God, Easter seems so long ago. It seems an age since we greeted you fresh from the tomb, met you behind locked doors, or walked the beach with you. How quickly we forget the joy and the reality of your risen presence in our world. God, we need you in our woundedness, in our brokenness. We need you to draw alongside us and those we love. We need you to remind us that miracles do happen and that resurrection is possible. That you are our ascended, reigning Lord. As we look on the death and destruction throughout the world, we grieve, we cry. We think particularly at this time of all those who have lost loved ones to violence in Israel, Palestine. We pray for all whose work is to pray for peace, to make for peace. May we focus on your life-giving hope and your life and death and resurrection and glorious ascension. Lord, you came into the world to love the world and to make all things new. May we see your renewing love at work, and may we be channels of that work, loving and serving, healing and renewing, called to be your witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So remind us daily of your power. Remind us of that paradox that because you are no longer here with us on earth, we know that you are with us in spirit and in strength. Confront us with miracles, surround us with angels, all those who selflessly give their lives to serve others. And wherever you call us, may we willingly serve to bring you glory making your risen presence, your ascended glory known in all the world. All our prayers, all our thoughts, we offer to you, God of mystery, God of love, God of promise, God of peace. Amen.
We consider all that God gives to us and what we can give to God. Risen, ascended, loving Lord, yours is the greatness, the power, the glory, the splendour and the majesty, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Use the gifts and use us in the service of your kingdom and to the glory and honour of your name. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Lift up your eyes and look for him, Jesus the coming Savior King, born to redeem the world from sin, bringing his peace to all. Now if you walk in darkest night, look for his dawn that's breaking bright. Nothing shall ever stop this light, bringing new hope to all. Oh, lift up your eyes, see the King. Worship the Savior, come praise him, Jesus the Lord of all. Oh, once in a manger he lay, lifted high, he is reigning, Jesus the Lord of all. Soon you will see him come again, not as the child of Bethlehem, but the returning King to reign, glorious Lord of all. Worship the Savior, come praise him, Jesus the Lord of all. Oh, once in a manger he lay, now lifted high he is reigning, Jesus the Lord of all. Lift up your eyes and look for him, Jesus the coming Savior King. Now in your heart make room for him, worship him Lord of all. Lift up your eyes and look for him, Jesus the coming Savior King. Now in your heart make room for him, worship him Lord of all. Oh, lift up your eyes, see in a manger he lay. Now lifted high, he is reigning, Jesus the Lord of all. Come worship him, come bow down before him, come praise him.
Risen, ascended, loving Lord, may we be aware of your presence with us in the everyday happenings of our lives. May we work with you and walk with you to bring closer the time when all come to know and worship you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all who you love, this day and forevermore. Amen.